Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Abraham Lincoln had his enemies during his lifetime, but even those who held him in low esteem recognized something of greatness in him when he died. Someone came out of the room where Lincoln died saying, "Now he belongs to the ages." Joan of Arc also had her enemies and was burned as a witch and a heretic in a city square. A secretary of the King of England who witnessed this left saying, "We are all lost because we have burned a saint." In their deaths, these two were recognized as having made a mark on history. In his death, Jesus Christ made a mark that has changed history and eternity. In his death, clearly Jesus glorified his heavenly Father. That's why today's enemy, the Roman soldier, who tradition, by the way, names as Longorius, why he and his men stood at the cross and made the declaration that rings down through the ages of who they had killed. They said, "Surely this was the Son of God." But it wasn't in a vacuum that they said this. Listen again to what events transpired in verses 51 to 54 as Jesus gave up his spirit and died. "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, 'Truly this was the Son of God.'" Now, whether or not Longorius and his men heard the curtain in the temple being torn in two is certainly an open question. But not so with the earthquake, or the rocks splitting, and the tombs being opened. These they would have felt and seen and witnessed. Now, you may notice a little Greek lesson here. You may notice that I've been using plural pronouns, talking about they and them and these, rather than just about him and he, referring to the centurion. That's because in the Greek text, the plural use of verbs is clear throughout these verses, and that's important for two reasons. One is that more than one witness to an event adds to the credibility of the report of the event. It also means that Matthew was giving the readers a way of checking facts. At the time of his writing, such witnesses may still and likely would have been available to check with had somebody tried. But the second reason the plural is important is that the centurion and his men represented an official government presence at the execution. They would have had to report on anything outside the ordinary to their supervisors and their superiors. And this was definitely outside the ordinary. And since this execution was what today would be called a high-profile case, Pilate had this centurion in charge of such a detail. They were to see to the execution order being carried out with no interference. Now, a centurion, if you don't know, was a soldier who was in charge of 100 men. It's unlikely that Longorius brought all 100 men with him. Those with him would have been his trusted aides for such a task, especially given its political overtones for the Roman occupation forces. These things made the use of the plural important because what we have is essentially an official government record of events due to there being more than one soldier present. So these guys see and experience an earthquake. And from the sixth hour, which is noon, that darkness covered the land. Darkness began at noon and lasted 3 hours till the time that Jesus gave up his spirit and died. So, darkness at midday. This Jew dies, and then the earth quakes. Then rocks split and tombs open. These are not your usual happenings at a Roman execution. They had no idea that all this was a prelude to what was to come in 3 days. In 3 days, another earthquake would lead to even greater things than these. In 3 days, that earthquake and what would follow would change the world from that point on regarding the identity of this Jew they had just executed. This Jew, Jesus, who they said then was, and whom we say today is, the Son of God. These Roman soldiers spoke the words that the Jewish leaders feared to and would not. This was not merely the King of the Jews, as the sign Pilate had required be posted on the cross said. This was God's Son. And they, these Roman soldiers, declare that. This was not about religion or politics for them. This was about the reality of all that was happening about them. The only explanation that made sense to them was that this was God's Son. This was the descendant of the divine. In all their hard-fought experience, they had never encountered anything like this execution before. They had no other way to classify this from their years in the trenches of battle. This was a combat on a cosmic scale. It was beyond their mere human abilities, and they recognized it as such. They put into words who their sense of warfare told them was on that cross. To all of them, this was God's Son. Simply and plainly, this man was not ordinary. His death affected everyone who witnessed it, and the accompanying events that testify to the truth of the statement tonight of the centurion and those with him. Just as Longinus and his men were affected and changed by the death of this Jew, Jesus, so we too are changed by the covenant of God's Son. That covenant promises us new life. And we shared in that last night. And by that covenant and with these men, we declare to the world, Jesus is the Son of God. In his holy name we pray. Amen.